Hello and welcome to the Undercut Podcast. I'm your host this evening, Jesse Billington, and we're back to preview the fourth round of the 2025 Formula One season, the Bahrain Grand Prix. To do this, I'm joined by Mr. Timo Albers Daly and Miss Ellie Mae Taylor. How are you both?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. I've had a 6.5 hour lecture today on media law, so covering a lot of important bits and pieces, and yeah, brain is feeling a little bit scrambled. So looking forward to just having a nice relaxed chat about the Bahrain Grand Prix.
Not much to talk about, really, is there? Which I think actually is nice. I think for how the season's gone so far, I
You
think we
finally
all
got a
agree
quiet
that.
preview, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not coming into it going, "Oh my God, they've swapped teams or something." No, it's all fine. Timo, how are you?
Not too bad either, to be honest. Thank you. And when you say about no one swap teams, rather, Hadjar's tempting fate by going, I wouldn't mind, and I think I'm ready if you want to call me up. And everyone like,
I
no,
did see his
stop it.
statement of yeah, it was like if the phone call came, I'd probably take it. I'm like, don't do it. You're
How
happy at
is Marco
Toro
Racing?
Rosso. You're happy at Toro Rosso, making your little TikToks, getting your little points. Just live with it.
I always think that he, whenever he's on air, that he looks really like on edge, and I'm kind of like, well, as things have gone so far, I'm not really surprised.
On broadcast, he always seems a little sort of but as soon as you sort of just give him a phone and like some props, and he's quite at home. He's juggling, he's making funny little videos, he's voice syncing, he's living his best life. As soon as you give him like a Sky microphone, he sort of tenses up a little bit.
Would it be cruel to say he starts to remind me, as you describe him there, of the squirrel from Ice Age? In
He
terms
has
of
a
this
little bit.
nervous energy, as soon as he's noticed, but as soon as he can get on with doing his own thing, he's perfectly animated.
He does have a little bit of Scrat energy, I'll say that, yeah. But anyway, we're not really here to talk about whether or not Isaac Hadjar reminds us of the squirrel from the Ice Age film series. We're instead here to talk about the Bahrain Grand Prix. And one of the important things to note ahead of this weekend's racing action is we've got some more FP1 drivers. And we'll kick off with the obvious and easy ones to discuss. Dino Beganovic stepping in at Ferrari, the F2 driver will be running in FP1 in Bahrain for the Scuderia. Just no word yet on who he'll be taking over from. Luke Browning will be taking over from Carlos Sainz at Williams. Felipe Drugovich will be standing in for Fernando Alonso at Aston Martin. Fred Vesti will be in George's W16 for Mercedes. And Ayumu Iwasa will be hopping into Max's chassis for FP1, giving Red Bull a wholly Japanese lineup for that session. More difficult to pick apart is Ryo Hirakawa has left Alpine and joined Haas as their reserve driver. And he'll also be running in FP1 sessions for the team at Bahrain, Spa, Mexico, and Abu Dhabi. He'll be replacing Behrmann this weekend. Obviously, Rio tested with Haas in Abu Dhabi last year. I've lost track of which other teams he's tied with. I don't know if he's still associated
McLaren,
with
he
McLaren
did
still.
have.
McLaren, but I think he left them because he knew that the likelihood of him getting a seat at McLaren was really small because they had the strong driver lineup. And then I guess with Alpine, they've already got what, Franco Colapinto, Kush Meini, Paul Aaron. They already have so many drivers in that pool already. I think it makes sense for him to go to Haas instead, especially with sort of the Toyota links as well.
Yeah, lean on the Toyota links, lean on the sort of the nationality link with Ayoko Matsu as well, just sort of that shared patronage and sort of go for it. I don't see why not. I mean, it's not a bad chassis to go and start testing. And I mean, if he's going to be able to go over to Haas literally a week later and go, oh, by the way, this is better than what the Alpine is at the moment. I think Ayoko Matsu might have scored himself a cheeky one there. But importantly, what this means is Colapinto will be stepping into the breach at Alpine if needed. Like if Doohan doesn't get better following that shunt in FP2 and Suzuka, we still don't know how he's feeling, whether he's still a bit achy and sore after that. But yeah, it's all up in the air once more.
I think though, because it sort of comes as a surprise again that we have so many drivers coming in for free practice sessions when we wouldn't have it usually so early on in the year. But I guess it makes sense it being in Bahrain and it no longer being the first race of the season now, because obviously they have a lot of data from winter testing. It's not going to be too different. And, the drivers that are having a not taking part in free practice, they've this is the track where they've got the best knowledge of so far. And I think the only practice session that's going to have any real significance as well is probably going to be FP2, because that's similar conditions to when the race will be on.
Yeah, obviously everyone knows Bahrain like the back of their hand. Formula 2 and Formula 3 has been going there for a little while, so even the likes of Ollie Bearman won't really be missing out a huge amount when it comes to track time, and he seems quite well suited in that Haas at the moment as it is anyway. So I think he'll get it. He's also proven he can get up to speed quite quickly with a car when he's given it sort of with short notice. So I don't think it will really make too much of a fuss for him. Everyone else is an experienced driver that's certainly done at least five Grand Prix around Bahrain these days. So yeah, it's not really a not too great a surprise that we've got some of the FP1 sessions being delegated here. Like you said, it means they can do it against testing data they've got. They've got accurate things to bring back to wind tunnels and to sim rigs for sort of further setups and refinements. So it's sort of an all-round win-win. It's a logical solution to it.
Which kind of makes you think, why didn't Alpine wait?
Yeah.
I think we know why Alpine didn't wait, but it seems one of those things where even they couldn't be bothered to think of a more convenient excuse to try and shift the obvious nature of why they did it sis onto something else.
Possibly try to create a narrative of some sort that would allow them to apply pressure or suggest a transference of opportunity. But there we go. That's the weird and mystical ways that Alpine operates in. Otherwise, that's pretty much it for news ahead of the Bahrain Grand Prix. It's been a bit of a quiet one. We're in the middle of a triple header at the moment, so there's not really been a great deal happen since we finished at Suzuka. So we'll jump right into some Bahrain fun facts. Timo, I think you've got these.
Got the second one certainly, because I didn't write the first one. I'm questioning whether or not it's fun or just a fact, so I'll probably ping that back to you in a second. But I noticed today that, with the exception of last year, every year since 2017, the driver that won a race in Bahrain in Formula 2 has made it into F1. So we've got Leclerc, Norris, Latifi, Tsunoda, Lawson, Piastri, Joe, Hadjar, and Bortoleto, with Zane Maloney being the one to spoil that statistic into being a perfect one for the purposes of this episode.
God damn you, Zane Maloney. Be interesting to see who makes the sort of the next theoretical step on that list with obviously Formula 2 back this weekend. So we'll see who potentially lines themselves up to this theoretical Formula 1 seat. That means, Ellie Mae, you must have written in the bit about the tyre compounds.
I did. I mean, depends on your definition of fun fact, because I always love tyre chat.
I quite like a tyre chat.
I don't mind it. I was just assumed that, as you very rarely have put in the fun facts, that it just must have been Jesse.
But no, just to say that the tyre compounds for this weekend will be C1, which will be for the hard, C2 medium, C3 soft, which is the same as Japan, but obviously very different tracks, very different temperatures. They're probably going to behave differently.
We might see a more interesting Grand Prix because of it. We'll see the tyres coming into the window a bit earlier and also possibly cooking off a bit earlier as well. So we might see drivers forced into a two-stop strategy, which isn't uncommon, but certainly not the fastest way around Bahrain. So yeah, we've got a bit more of a chance of something interesting happening. I think that was one of the things that held people back at Suzuka, was not only the lack of overtaking up a bit opportunity, but also the fact that there was no real incentive or need to pit to get into fresh air to try something different. And that was the fact that the tires were just going on and on and on. As soon as you put on the mediums or hards, they just lasted. So maybe with a bit of heat and a slightly different, slightly more aggressive compound as well, we've got down on the circuit at Bahrain,
A lot more abrasive, isn't it?
should start to open up a few more opportunities. May see some sort of medium hard mediums or medium hard soft strategies just to sort of try and shake things out a bit. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Interesting one from a pit wall aspect, at least. It might be another absolute stinker of a race. But I'm incredibly conscious of time and the fact that we've been recording for about 5 minutes and we've already made it to the prediction. So hopefully we've got something to argue about here. So we'll move into the predictions, and for pole position predictions, Ellie Mae, your prediction, please.
Lando Norris.
Timo, yours?
Piastri.
Very nice. And I'm going to go George Russell. I think we could be in for something a little bit interesting. That Mercedes is stable and he might be able to sort of do as Max Verstappen did in Suzuka, with not necessarily the quickest car, but the most consistent car over a lap.
Well, this is where I was thinking in terms of my podium prediction as well, and from what Mark Webber was saying at the end of the Channel 4 commentary and coverage for the Japanese Grand Prix, in that it's likely to be a two-stop race, which means, in theory at least, more interesting. God hopes it's going to be more interesting because I don't know how you get much more dull. And I think as a track where they've been testing, obviously as they do most years these years, everyone knows it a bit more, and teams that are in the position that Ferrari and Mercedes are in, for example, can afford to risk it more for a biscuit here than they would at other places. And when you've got a bit more runoff area, you're not on a street circuit, you've obviously got a lot of experience of racing here over the years, and we've seen that you can get quite close to the drivers around you. There are bits of the track where you can be three or four wide if you're very careful about it. Why not chance it and see if you can get in a sneaky win and spoil McLaren's party a little bit?
It'd be very interesting to see if it's doable.
I just think it'll be a bit like how we always had Spain. It's a bit predictable because they've done winter testing there already.
But we've already seen some teams bring upgrades as well. So the cars aren't exactly as they were when they left Bahrain back in very early March. So we've got a bit of a difference there that might open up a window for something to happen. Again, I say this sort of touching wood and rubbing my lucky horseshoe to try and hope that we have something a bit more interesting than what Suzuka provided.
Haas have got a whole new floor. Well, not a whole new floor, but they've brought upgrades to their floor, haven't they?
There's a few upgrades already out there. There was a few that were brought for things like China. There were some that were really early. I know that Red Bull had a bit of a different aero package for Suzuka. I don't know if that's been carried over. So we've got some different things coming. And again, we've still yet to see what Yuki Tsunoda can do when he's left to be alone in that Red Bull at a circuit he knows well. And again, at one that he might be a bit more confident at dialing out some of that downforce and allowing himself a bit more speed. Does that translate, though, to your podium prediction, Ali May?
Well, my pole position does into then my podium, yes, because I've gone for a Norris win by Verstappen, then
So it's basically what you're saying is Norva Pia is the new Hambolver.
think part of what she's also saying is that she's thought about it and is determined for me not to come out of this weekend ahead of her in the predictions points.
This is possibly also very true. She's getting competitive with she we've drawn blood and she's fighting back now. Timo, your predictions then?
Realistic, but also a little bit more bold. Russell with a win for Mercedes, Piastri second, and Verstappen in third.
Not bad, not bad. I've also gone Russell and
I've
Piastri
inspired you, is what you're
atop
trying to say.
Timo, you inspire me every day to be a better man. Russell and Piastri
And
atop
yet,
rostrum. Yeah, you set a very low baseline, and my goal is simply to clear that.
and yet, as Ali Bey said the other day, you still fall short.
Russell and Piastri atop the rostrum with Tsunoda in third, I think is what I'm gonna predict on that one. I think we're gonna see something a little bit interesting.
I think that Red Bull will do a different strategy to what McLaren do. I think with those tyres, it's more than likely going to be a two stop. So then some teams are going to be like, well, let's risk it from doing one stop then and let them overtake us.
Run it late and hope for the safety car to change under.
Yeah.
Because other teams will be doing the same thing, and we're sort of expecting either tyre failures or drivers to bin it, that sort of
That's
thing.
usually the kind of strategy employed by a team whose drivers then bin it themselves, and you go, oh, that would have worked perfectly if we weren't the ones to have binned it.
Lance Stroll, potential previous forms of Toro Rosso, maybe Haas in previous iterations, yeah. I will say, actually, speaking of tyres, did anyone notice at the end of the Japanese Grand Prix how far offline a lot of drivers were going to pick up rubber? And not necessarily just rubber. Some of them were running through the grass because the grass also accumulates a bit of rubber at the side where the marbles run off, but also simply just to pick up dirt, mud, rocks, and stones to A, lift cars up, and B, also bring them back to race weight. It's our following. This is certainly something that I noticed the Ferraris were doing. Off the back of things like Charles Leclerc's car not meeting its weight restrictions, it seems to be an interesting little tactic. And obviously, we've got a lot of gravel around the edge of Bahrain. I'm not going to be surprised if we see a few teams taking a few liberties on the in-lap after the Grand Prix this weekend.
Either that or getting around turn four and just Pulling over slightly, Marshall comes over to tips a bunch of stones into the cockpit. Go, quickly. Next one.
We're going back to the days of Tyrrell where they used to run water cooling, where they simply just sort of started the race, dumped all the water out, and then would get to the end of the race. And you were allowed to fill up your coolants at the end of the race before it was weighed. So they'd just fill it up mostly with water, but also with a huge amount of lead shot just to bring the car back up to its weight limit again. Like, this is, we've basically got back to the 1980s and cheating. I love it.
It's all part of the F175 celebrations.
They're doing little historic things here and there. They'll let them race in leather caps one weekend just because historic.
You wait till we get to Singapore, love you again.
They're going to bring back the banking at Monza. You'll have to do sort of the in loop and the out loop. That's going to be fun.
That'll be less controversial.
Anyway, fastest lap. Ellie May, yours.
Kimi Antonelli. The man that's still doing schoolwork.
Yeah, I was about to say, he is still laboring away with his sort of exams and his lessons between racing, and then still goes out and performs at that level. It is quite impressive.
Doesn't like maths, apparently. Don't blame
Don't
him.
blame him.
No, neither, to be fair. Timo, your fastest lap.
Lando Norris, I've got to give him something to do in the Grand Prix, I suppose, haven't I?
I'm going to go Lewis Hamilton. I think he's going to be one of the, he's a god when it comes to holding onto tyres, and he's going to be one of the last to swap over to a set of softs. And net result is he's going to be in a pocket of clean air and absolutely charging through the field and bag himself that fastest lap. Not for any points, but just for personal distinction. Similar to Carlos
Because he
Sainz.
can.
Yeah, because he can. Not
It's like
necessarily.
Michael Schumacher doing quali laps in Spa with full fuel. Just he can do it, so why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And it's also Ferrari, so they've probably forgot that you don't get a point for the fastest lap anyway.
Yeah, no one told their pit wall. So he's sort of doing the equivalent of sort of flat through pit wall in with a full tank of fuel. But anyway, wild prediction, Ellie May, what might be your wild prediction?
Can I have that every driver finishes the race?
I mean, that happened in Suzuka. It did.
Oh,
Lance Stroll was
annoyingly, I was going to use it then and then decided to go with a Sonoda theme.
on that. What if I made you say every driver finishes the race on the lead lap?
Yeah, go
That
on
would be
then.
more ballsy.
No one gets lapped, essentially, and everyone finishes.
Yeah.
I'm looking at our wild predictions going, all three of these could come true. And if so, we've got a very interesting race on our hands just off the wild predictions alone.
It could happen. It could happen. Timo, your wild prediction then.
Well, yes, because if every driver's finishing the race in the lead lap, then I'm having a fun wrinkle to that coming true because multiple drivers will have had at least three pit stops during the Grand Prix.
Especially if we're predicting maybe there'll be a pit stop under a safety car and or a lag period. What causes that, but all the cars are still out there? Rain.
Well, you will need to go back and look at Bahrain testing to see the
Dog on track.
obscene amount of red flags for random things to happen to explain that.
Dog on track. Grass catches
Power
fire.
cuts. There could
Glass
be something.
shatters for no reason.
Yeah. I feel like there was something weird happening when WEC went to Bahrain as well.
Well, there was also the bus, wasn't there?
That was it, yeah. Just a random minibus just pottering around the circuit. We could still be on for this. My wild prediction is Alpine double points finish. Only team yet to score is doing gonna notch one up. Is Pierre gonna put some points on the board? I don't know.
This will be where one of the drivers gets multiple points and therefore double points in that sense, but it won't be both drivers, and you'll be like, damn, it was so close.
Yeah, like Pierre drags it up into sort of 10 points, 12 points, 15, 18, 25. That's therefore double figures points, but not necessarily double score of points. We'll wait and see. That's our predictions out the way. We've been talking for nearly 20 minutes at this point. This is you, Timo said before we
That's what
started.
we want from the preview.
Yeah, Timo said before we started recording, oh, this might be a quick one. I wasn't anticipating it being this quick.
And we've tried to long out some of this as
We've been stalling hard at some of these points, much like a DRS flap open down the main straight. We're stalling hard. That feels like a very Ted Kravitz sort of saying. That's all we've really got time for this episode of the Undercut podcast. We'll be back next week for a review of the Bahrain Grand Prix. In the meantime,
almost forgot where we were going there for a second.
Almost. It still says on the notes Japanese Grand Prix, and I went, it's not Bahrain. And then my brain went, circuit. And I was like, technically, that's the circuit. Bahrain Grand Prix. In the meantime, though, Ellie Mae, where can the listeners find you if they want some more of your work?
Me up on Instagram if you want, but other than that, I don't really know where I am.
Okay, Ellie Mae doesn't know where she is.
I'll go find myself.
She'll be finding herself, centering her soul. Timo, where can the people find you?
This weekend you can find me over on Everything F1, where I'll be covering F2, F3, and IndyCar. No F1 sessions for me this time around. I've learned that lesson, even though they're probably on at more reasonable times, like 4 o'clock in the afternoon. But I thought, you know what, I'll give that a break for a moment. So Long Beach for the IndyCar, Bahrain, obviously, for the F2 and the F3.
Very nice indeed. And if you want more from me, you can pick up the latest issue of Classic Car Weekly. There's plenty to enjoy in it. There's a preview of this weekend's members meeting at Goodwood, all the racing action in there. Of course, you can watch it all online if you want attending. And I drive the Mini 1275 GT that Tom Christensen will be driving in the Wynn Percy Trophy inaugural outing for this car in a race meeting as well. So it should be very interesting to see how 9-time Le Mans winner Tom Christensen gets on behind the wheel. If he had anywhere near as good a time as I did, he should be all right. Otherwise, you can also listen to the Classic Car Weekly podcast. We do that now, and that takes you a little bit behind the scenes into what I do for a day job, as well as a few other bits and pieces here and there. I'm also on the internet, on social media, so go look me up there too, at Jesse on Cars, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, the usual. We're really padding for time here.
Perhaps I should add to my wild prediction that your car doesn't get lapped. Remembers me.
That might be the wildest prediction you have for the year.
Christensen doesn't get lapped.
Yeah.
He won't. The Wynn Percy Trophy is for sub 2.8 litre touring cars. So the 1275 GT is perfectly angled for that. And
watch him pull over to the side of the road now and get lapped.
That doesn't count, though.
Yeah. I'm trying to help you. Shut up.
He's got to still be racing for it to get lapped. Simply retiring.
Pulls over and it's just like chugging along still. He's not retired yet. And then just after the first car laps him, then he retires.
Yeah, but then I wouldn't get the point. Because
he still lapped him whilst he's still going. I thought you wanted him to get that.
No, he doesn't. You finish
a lap down, you still have to finish. Otherwise, it's just recorded as a DNF, isn't it?
Never mind then.
Yeah.
There you go, there's some time padded for you.
That's another useful 45 seconds. We'll be back with a review of the Bahrain Grand Prix. Go and enjoy yourself with the remaining half an hour we've given you.